Boy, that first song we sang, it's always a humbling reminder to me. That first song, There's Power in the Blood. I think it was the second trip that I took over to Vanuatu. We were going over to a remote island, to Tuba, and we were going over there just for a couple days to do a little session. And the missionary that we were with, he's like, hey, I'd like you guys to go sing a song for us. And he just grabbed three of us guys that were there. So we're like, okay, so, you know, we picked out a song, and we picked out Power in the Blood. So I didn't know that the one guy was tone deaf. The other guy knew how to sing, but... and then there was me, and I didn't know anything about singing. So we get up there to sing There's Power in the Blood. And the one guy is just, you know, doing his own thing, the tone deaf guy. The other guy's harmonizing, and I don't know what harmonizing is, so I'm following him while he's harmonizing, which I guess is a bad thing to do. And all the Nevans, they're just naturally gifted when it comes to singing. They're just really good at singing. And they're also really polite. There's a lot of things that are taboo to do. And if they were out there, I mean, even in our culture, if somebody was singing, you wouldn't want to be laughing in their face out there, would you, you know? So they're busting up, and they're trying not to laugh at us. And there was another friend of ours, a Maori guy from New Zealand. And when he laughed, every time he'd start laughing, he'd just run around and laugh, like, just so loud. So he'd come in. We're in this old... It was an old Catholic style concrete building that they built years and years ago, and now it's a Baptist church. But we were in there singing, and they had these big arched windows, and he'd come up to the back door, look at us, and he'd watch us for a little bit, and then he'd take off running into the dark laughing. Well, everyone else was hearing this guy laugh, and his laugh was very crazy. So anyway, they're hearing this guy scream and laughing. So then they're getting up and they're trying to walk out. And now whenever you stand up in front of in church or somewhere like that, you don't want to be tall. So everyone kind of walks like this. So everyone's like, one person will get up and he'll start walking out the back and he'll start laughing a little bit. And then he gets to the back door and he runs off in the dark laughing. Well, other people are getting up and they're starting to walk out the back door, but they're starting to laugh so they can't hold it. So they're jumping out of the windows. So I quite literally had people jumping out of windows to get away from my singing. Every time we sing Power in the Blood, that comes back to me, this image of people jumping out of windows, laughing. And the more that went out caused more commotion and more people laughing. And the missionary that had asked us to sing, he's just down there like, and we're just struggling along, saying every verse. Afterwards, the pastor, he came to us, he's like, look, sometimes, you know, the missionary or the pastor, you know, somebody's fixing to get up to preach and they have, you know, the song service brings the plane, like the spiritual level, it's like a plane and it raises it up to here. And then you have somebody get up and sing that special and they're just, you know, they bring you that much closer to God. And then everyone's heart's in tune and they're all ready to hear the scripture. He's like, you guys got in that plane and crashed it into the side of the mountain. And then I had to get up there and try to preach while everybody... Oh, he wasn't happy with this. But hey, we were trying to serve and trying to, we did what he asked us to. It was something. So anyway, all right. Today I'm actually going to tell another story. I like telling stories, so, we'll hear another story in the, morning service too. But, I'm going to, and again, this is also a very, normally this is something I share with Sunday school students or, you know, like the children's church. But it is very applicable or very applicable to us as adults. I think so many times we start missing this simple truth. But I'll go ahead and start out with a word of prayer and then we'll go into this. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today, Lord. Thank you for this church here, and Lord, just thank you for us being able to be here and share your word, Lord. Just please speak through me today, Lord. Lord, help the message to speak to the people that are hearing it today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the story I'm going to tell y'all is about a place called Vunikarakara, and it's way up in the mountains. And so in Vanuatu, we do a lot of traveling to different places, because people live far apart. So we're going to this one place called Vunikarakara. It's way up in the mountains. And, you have to cross one river 27 times to get there. Now, I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, why would you cross the same river 27 times? Like, why not just stay on one side of the river, you know, and then you don't have to keep crossing? But once the first time I went up there, I realized, like, it's so mountainous, and you follow the river because the river's, you're either hiking over mountains to get there, you know, if you're going as the crow flies, or you follow the river, which stays in the valley in the low area, so you're not going up and down, up and down. So the river will go so far, and then it comes up to a cliff, and then you have to get in the water, go to the other side, and then you walk there, and then there'll be a cliff on this side where the water goes up to it, so then you go over to the other side. So you're just constantly going back and forth, back and forth. Some places you're just walking up the middle of the river for a while. Then it gets to this one place they call Death Valley, where there's two cliffs like this, and it just goes straight up for about 50 feet. So when you're walking through there, you can look up and see just a little bit of light coming down, but you're walking straight through the water. And they call it Death Valley because whenever it floods, and sometimes you'll have the sun over you where you're at, but if it's raining up in the mountains, it will still cause like a flash flood, and just a wall of water comes through, and there's nowhere for you to go because it's like smooth limestone going up the sides. So that's why they call it Death Valley. It's not really a valley, but anyway, that's what they call it. So we get through there. And so on this particular trip, though, Jeremy, the other missionary that I was with, he wanted to take his entire family, all of his girls. He had five girls at the time and four girls at the time. So he's taken all of them up to this village, which is like a 12-hour hike. Like, I mean, it's a rough hike. So we're going there, and we got a lot of guys from our youth group with us, so they're helping carry the kids. And we finally get there. Lessons, everything that we were doing was going really well up there. But then baby Abigail got an eye infection, and her eye just turned all pink, and it was looking pretty bad. And I think we stayed the full time there, or we might have came back a day early. But anyway, on our way back, as we're hiking down the mountain, it starts raining. So we get rained on the whole way down the mountain, and normally we stay at a village at the bottom of the mountain, and then we hike up to the top, you know. So we get down to the village, and Jeremy's wanting to hurry back because he's worried about his daughter's eyesight. I mean, her eye looked really bad. It wasn't just like pink eye, you know. So we get there, and the whole time we're hiking down the mountain, we're thinking, what's the river going to look like? Because we have to cross that one river over and over and over. So we get there, and the river is pretty flooded. I mean, it's dark brown. And I'm thinking, okay, well, we're just going to stay here at the side of the, you know, river for a few days. But the thing is, once you get into rainy season, sometimes you're waiting a week for the river to go down. Sometimes it's a day. And then sometimes you're stuck in Big Bay for 2 months. So Jeremy didn't want to risk it. And since the rain had just started that morning, he's like, we're going to go ahead and start crossing. So he went as far down the river as he could before it turned. And his plan was, if we slipped, he was going to jump in and swim across and grab us. And then he takes Abigail and he puts her on the back of Pastor John Mark, John Mark's a short little guy, but he is about as round as he is tall. So he's a stocky little guy. So, and he's the pastor from up there, so he crosses rivers all the time. So he puts Abigail on his shoulders, and then he tells me to follow right behind Pastor John Mark. So if John Mark falls, I'll grab Abigail. And so we start crossing the river, and it's so loud that you can't hear anything because the water's going. And when you're crossing the rivers, well, one, you can't see your feet. It's just, you know, brown water. And two, you're not walking on concrete. You're walking on slimy rocks and stuff. So it's not just a matter of walking. So you're kind of feeling around trying to find a place to put your foot down. And then the other thing is, as soon as you lift your foot up, the water's pushing so hard, it's trying to push your feet out from underneath you. And also, if you have a backpack, then you got to have your backpack up high so the water's not also pushing on your backpack. So here I am with my backpack up and following Pastor John Mark, and he's walking with Abigail, and he's slowly getting farther ahead of me. And I'm thinking, I was so nervous at the time because I was just thinking, if he gets too far in front of me, then if he falls, I won't be able to catch Abigail. But then if I don't go fast enough, or if I try to go too fast, then I'm going to fall, and I won't be able to catch her anyway, which I wasn't worried about myself falling for my safety. I mean, I could swim, but I wouldn't be there to catch Abigail. And man, that was out of scary moments in my life. That's one of the top moments that I remember, just crying out to the Lord, like looking at Abigail. I could see she's turning around crying for her mom, but I can't even hear her because it's that loud. And I was just thinking, I got to go faster. Don't go too fast. And just trying to get across this river. So we made it to the other side, and now we're kind of trapped in between the rivers. And I'm thinking, okay, like, so after we made it across, then everyone else, they kind of made like a rope, like a human rope, and they started moving, going over in groups. So if half of them fell down, they'd kind of pull each other up, and it's probably how we should have gone over. But anyway, we were testing it out. So we all got across there, and I'm thinking, okay, now Jeremy's going to say, no, we're going to just stay, you know, stay here, stay the night here. So, nope, we get over there and he's like, no, we got to keep going back. We got to keep going back. So we keep crossing rivers, keep going back closer and closer. Then we get to this one place where the river's super narrow, and where it's more narrow, it's deeper and it's moving. It's just, you can't cross it there. So we get to this place and, we have to go up, hike up over this little ridge and then down the backside. So it was probably about 30 or 40 feet high, pretty much a straight cliff, you know. And so what we did is, like, one guy would climb up as high as he could, then he would grab the next guy, and that guy would climb up on him and then find a place to hang on to a root or something, and then he would help up the next guy. It's kind of like watching ants, how ants, like, make a chain. So they make a chain getting all the way up to the top. Then they send up the moms. There was Jeremy's wife and a couple other, Pastor John Mark's wife, she went up. Pastor Gabby's wife, she went up. So they sent the ladies up. And then, so all the moms are up on the top, and then they send up the kids. And Pastor Gabby, he nudges me, and he's like, you know why we send the kids up, the moms up first? I'm like, so they can watch the kids, you know, when the kids get up there, so the kids don't, I don't know, fall off the cliff or something. He's like, no, we send the moms up first just in case the kids fall, because we don't want the moms to be on the ground if the kids fall. So like, wow, thanks for sharing that with me, Pastor Gabby. So they're just taking these kids and like swinging them up to the next guy. That guy swings them up to the next guy. And just watching these kids get pulled up the side of this, you know, mountain or cliff. And also just the realization that we are in the middle of a jungle. There's no cell reception. There's no, like, there's no helicopter on our island. There's no fail safe. And anyway, Jeremy's a pretty extreme missionary. So we get up to the top of this thing, and I'm thinking, now that we hiked up here, we'll be up here for a while. We hike like the length of the auditorium, and then we're going back down, right back down next to the river. It's like, man, was that really worth it? But I mean, there was no other way around that. So the whole time in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what are we going to do when we get to Death Valley? Because we can't swim through that. Like Death Valley, remember I said about the cliffs on either side? Well, there's also like these big like holes around the side. Like when you walk up to the wall, it's not just the ground and then the wall. There's these like big pockets that people get sucked into on the side. So anyway, Jeremy had said too, on the way up, I was asking him, I was like, hey, whatever happens if it's flooded? He's like, you have to hike over the mountains to get back. And he's like, I'm never, ever doing it. And he's like, I did it one time back when I was like in his early 20s. And he's like, never doing it again. Promised myself I'm never doing it again. Well, anyway, we get to Death Valley. It's completely flooded. And we have to hike up over the thing. So anyway, Jeremy had to eat his words on that. But we hike and hike and hike and go higher and higher and higher up until we finally start getting into like all this fog, which is the clouds. And then we hike up out of the rain. But we were hiking all day pretty much. I don't know, 15, 18 hours of hiking, just all day long we were hiking. We left early that morning, and now it's getting later, and we're coming now. We've made it to the top of that mountain, and we're coming back down towards Mottoloy. Mottoloy is miles off in the distance there, but we're, you know, if it was light, we could see where it's at. So as we're going, Jeremy says, he gets me and two other guys. He's like, Mottoloy, the village we're going back to, he's like, they're not going to expect us to be coming through today. So he wanted us to go back, and, or to hike ahead of them and let them know people are coming, you know, kill the chicken, get the water boiled, and like get, you know, get food ready for everybody. So the three of us, we're supposed to go running back and get ahead of everybody. And also shortcuts. So we take a shortcut, and shortcuts in Vanuatu, I mean, I guess it's this way everywhere. A shortcut is a shortcut. There's normally a reason why it's a shortcut. Like, it's a faster way. Everybody would always take it, right? But there's got to be some reason why people don't. So either it's more dangerous, or it's harder, like you're hiking straight up something, or there's a reason why it's not the normal, because if it was easy, that would be the normal route, right? So I guess I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So one of the details that I've failed to mention here is, as the sun set, I didn't want to use my flashlight because the flashlight I had already died, and all I had left was my cell phone. And this was way back. Well, I say way back. This was years ago, back when cell phones weren't all that great, but they did have flashlights on them. But the batteries, I had batteries I could pull in and out and put them in there, but I was on my last battery, so I didn't want to use up the battery on my phone because that was also my camera. I could take pictures with my phone. So I didn't want to waste that, so I was trying to save the battery on my phone for taking pictures and not use the flashlight. So as we're going, my eyes just slowly adjusted to the dark, you know, to the darkness. And the guy in front of me had a flashlight. So he's walking along, and he knew I was walking without a flashlight. So every once in a while, he'd point it at a rock or at a root or a vine or something to kind of point it for me. And then, so he was helping me out. And I would just be walking in the dark, and I'd know, okay, every so many steps, I gotta kind of step around this root or step over this. And I was doing really well, like I hadn't tripped or anything. So, yeah, it was working out. I was making it without a flashlight. It felt like a cat. Like, I let my eyes adjust, you know. And so we're going along, and we get to this one place where we're on, like, so a lot of times, instead of hiking over something, they'll kind of use sticks and stuff, and they'll dig a little shelf, basically about the width of this, right? They'll dig a little shelf on the side of a hill that would kind of, like, cut around it. So instead of you going all the way to the top or all the way to the bottom, you just walk around the side, and you're just on this little muddy, little slippery thing, and you walk around like this. So we're going on this little ledge just about like this, and walking along, and he's in front of me with his flashlight, and there's some places you can see where it's kind of caved, and you're stepping over that, and he was pointing that out for me. And I could see it's a bit of a drop over here, but I could see all these bushes to my right, or left, or whichever way. No, actually, it would have been to my right side. So I could see all these bushes, and I'm thinking, you know, if I slipped or fell, I was probably sliding and then fall about 15 feet, or, you know, not too far, maybe it's 10 foot. Then John says something, you know, and goes back this way, and I was like, John, by you push him towards blue, you go the way. So I was like, hey, John, shine your flashlight over there. So he points his flashlight over at these bushes, and I realized they're not bushes. They're the tops of coconut trees. So a coconut tree on average is about 98 foot tall. So it's about 10 foot down to those, and then another 100 foot down to the ground. So then I'm like, grab over to the wall, and I'm like hanging on to it. And I'm, you know, at this stage, I'm going to pull out my cell phone. I don't care if I don't have battery for, you know, picture. So now I'm like hanging on to the wall where I can and using my flashlight for every step and being super careful, whereas before I was just nonchalantly walking along the side of the thing. And anyway, we made it back. Nobody fell. We got back to the village, let everyone know that we were coming through. We had to stay the night there, but the next day the rivers did go down enough that we were able to drive across with the truck and get back to town. And Abigail, it turns out her eye was all right. After, I think they put her on antibiotics, but they got her eye all right and all that. So, but the point I want to emphasize from this story is, when I was up there walking around without my flashlight, I was ignorant to the danger. I was totally you know, I was happy as could be walking alongside that thing, you know, because I didn't realize how dangerous it was, you know. And sometimes we do that in our spiritual life. I want to take us to, most of y'all probably already know where I'm going to go with this morning, but Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119 will be in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So just as I was out there walking around without my flashlight, and I was happy as could be. I didn't realize how dangerous it was because I didn't have the flashlight to show me how dangerous it was. Well, how many of us walk around in our day-to-day life, our spiritual life, and we're walking around without our flashlight, without God's word that's showing us the danger, showing us, hey, you know what, maybe you shouldn't be doing this, or maybe you shouldn't be, or maybe you should be doing this. This is showing us our path. It's showing us the road that we should be taking, and we might miss that if we're not in the word. And kind of just also like how I was living, I was walking and using the guy's light in front of me. Sometimes we do that and we're coming to church every Sunday and we're listening to what pastor says, and pastor might point a light on something and say, hey, you know, look out for this, don't do this, or watch this. And we're like, okay, yeah. And we kind of, oh yeah, we've got to go around this or don't do this or, well, that's helpful. It's good that we're doing that, coming to church and letting pastor show us things. But we also should be carrying around God's word. We should be using it ourselves and getting into God's word daily and actually meditating on it and realizing what the dangers are around us and what we need to be weary of. And another thing, if we just turn back a couple pages over to Psalms, or still in Psalms 119, but we'll go to verse 11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." I kind of think of that like charging the battery on your flashlight. If I don't know what batteries I had in my flashlight. I don't remember what my flashlight was back then. But if I had had my battery properly charged, I would have still had my flashlight. You know, I wouldn't have had to have been worried about my using up my other battery. But sometimes I think we're getting in the Word of God and we're not taking time to meditate on it, and we're just reading through it real quick, and we're not letting it speak to us. Or we're also not taking scripture that does speak to us and memorizing it and hiding it in our heart. And if we're not doing that, then when we're out there in the world, we're not going to have that. It's not going to come back to us, you know. God's word won't return void. So as long as we're memorizing it and we're hiding it in our heart, when something comes up and there's a proposition or there's something that's happening, God's going to bring his word back to your memory to, oh, hey, I shouldn't do this. Or, you know what, this is kind of like this, and God says I shouldn't do this, so then I shouldn't do this. And that's basically just a very short, sweet little message here is, are you staying in the word of God? Are you reading, are you taking God's word every day and reading it? I think it's so easy for us to get out of the habit of that. You know, people around the world have died for God's word, have died for the Bible, have died just to have a little piece of it. And here we are, we have the whole Bible, and we're not, you know, how many times do we take time to watch a movie or to get on the internet and, you know, scroll or do something like that, and we're missing time? Like, how much time do you spend doing that sort of stuff, or your hobbies or whatever other things that you like to do? You're spending time doing that. I mean, how many, maybe calculate it, you know, put it, how many hours do you spend doing one thing, leisure things, and how many hours are you actually spending reading God's word, meditating on God's word, or in your prayer life, talking to the Lord? It might be shocking